Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Daf Ayin He in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin He. And we begin on the second line of Ayin He Yomid Aleph with a statement that Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia is making in the name of Rav. Rashi points out that these three shmaises that he's about to say, the Rashi is Dibra Masava Yodea Vechule, says, Hani Tlosh Shmaisesa Shaminhu. Now, the Gersa of the Rashi has his Mar Zutra, but it should be Rav Zutra. It's Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. That he heard from his Rebbe, Rav, Ki Adodi, when he heard them all together, and therefore Vagar Sinu. That's why he's saying them now at the same time. Before we get started with the shir, I also wanted to mention that we're learning today Lili Nishmas Charlotte Meister, Sarah Bas Reva Aaron. Her Nisham should have an Aliyah, all the Nishams we learn for should have an Aliyah. So these three statements we're about to learn from Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, in the name of Rav, are mentioned because Rashi said they were all learned at the same time. The Ben Yada has an interesting explanation. He says all three of them deal with attachments, as we'll see. One will be with a sowing attachment, one will be with an attachment to an Avodah Zarah, and one will be with a lack of an attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he says they're connected by they're all dealing with attachments. And anyway, let's begin the shir. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said the name of Rav, Hamoseach Chut Shel Tfira B'Shabbos. If you go and take a thread that's in a garment and you tighten it, in other words, you pull it, it got loose, and when you tighten it, it pulls the two parts of the garment together, that is an Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos, Chayiv Chatas. If you did this unintentionally, that would be the Isser of Tfira, of sewing, and you would be Chayiv Chatas if you did this accidentally. Vahalome, number two, that was number one. Vahalome dovor echo min ha-mogush. If a person learns even one thing from a mogush, chayv misa, he is deserving of dying. What is this mogush? So Rashi tells us over here, min ha-mamshichu li avodah zarah. This is a person who's trying to get you to go and follow avodah zarah. Afilu dovor Torah, and you shouldn't listen to him at all. Even if he tells you Torah, in that situation you shouldn't listen to him. Also, lilmod mimenu. And the Ben Yehuda explained over here, just like the stitch, when you're pulling it, it pulls the two parts of the garment together. This min over here, this mogush, is trying to get you closer to his avodah zarah. He's trying to pull you closer to his avodah zarah. So, yichayv misa, in this situation, one shouldn't listen to this mogush, this person who's trying to get you to go to the avodah zarah. Number three, the third statement, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, name of Rav, Vayodea L'chashev Tekufos Umazolos. If a person has knowledge and he's able to go and figure out when it's going to be, as Rashi tells us, a sunny season, a rainy season, and this will help the people in terms of agricultural work, in terms of business, parnosa, and because they see you're an Erlich Yid, they'll recognize it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then, this person who knows how to do this and make a Kiddush Hashem, the Eino Choshev, and yet he doesn't do it, Asul Sapi Rimenu. That person has unfortunately not pulled, the Ben Yehuda says, he's not pulled people closer to Hashem. He hasn't done this attachment. In fact, he's doing the opposite. He's not making the Kiddush Hashem, so then don't say over Vart from this person. He's doing something wrong, so don't give him any positive things. Don't say over even Divrei Torah in this person. Asul Sapi Rimenu. Don't go and say over things from him. He's a Talmid Chacham, but he's not making a Kiddush Hashem. He's not doing things that he could do, so therefore, try to keep him out of your life. Okay, these are the three things that Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said in the name of Rav. Now, as an aside, we have over here Magushta, or on the side it says Amgusha, which is very similar to the word Magush that we just had. So what exactly is this? So we had already said that it's a person who is trying to get you to follow Avodah Zarah. But here we have a machlokis, Rabu Shmuel, Charamai. We don't know which one said which. One said it's Charshi. Rashi explains in Dibra Maschol, Charamar Charshi, that this is Machashif. This is a person who's doing black magic. And the Charamar, Gadufi. The other one, either Rabu Shmuel, says Gadufi. Rashi says, Min Ha'aduk, Babarazar. That's the Magush that we were talking about. This is the person who is attached to his Avodah Zarah, Umagadev Tomidis Hashem, and he's constantly blaspheming, Umesis Anoshim Avodah Zarah, and he's trying to get you to go and worship his Avodah Zarah. So this Amgusha, according to either Rav or Shmuel, who says it's Gedufi, is exactly the Magush that we were talking about, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said the name of Rav. So Gemara says, Tistayim de Rav de Omar Gedufi. It makes sense that Rav is the one who says Gedufi is the Amgusha, the Magush. Because the Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, our Gemara, Halomi Dover Echo Min Amagush Chayav Misa. Somebody learns something from this Magush, it's Chayav Misa because he's trying to get you to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, Maybe it's a mechashev. How do you know it's not a mechashev? This is like the mechashev. If you want to tell me it's the mechashev, it's the mechashev. So then you're not allowed to learn black magic. But hoksev lo silmad lasos. The reason why you're not allowed to learn black magic, you're not allowed to practice black magic, is because you may come to do it. However, you are allowed to learn avol atolomed lehovin ulahoros. But a talmid chacham is allowed to learn that black magic, so he'll know when he comes up against a person who's trying to do all sorts of black magic things, he'll know how to combat it. He'll understand it. He'll recognize it. And therefore, that's what the pasuk says. So, lahavin is allowed, as Rashi says, shetucha lamod behen, v'im yasin novi shekel lefanecha shetovin shumachashiv. If somebody comes and says, look, I can do this miracle over here, you'll know that he's doing it through black magic. So therefore, a talmid chacham is allowed to go and do such things, to understand them, but not to do them for themselves. So therefore, it wouldn't have said over here that if you have any dealings at all with a magush, if it meant somebody who does black magic or understands black magic, so then that wouldn't be the case. So therefore, tistayim, it makes sense that Rav is the opinion that says it's gedufi, it means avodah zarah. And Shmuel is the one that says it meant over here mechashev. Tosus over here in Dira Maslam Gusha brings down a Gemara that we had elsewhere that we talk about Paro. It says Amgushihu. Paro from Mitzrayim was an Amgushi. And there we had a difference of opinion what that meant as well. It says Paro, Hine Yosi Amoima, and he's called Amgushi. Charamar Lasos Kishaw from Hoya. One said he was going out there to do black magic. The Charamar Gedufe, no, he was going out there to do a Vodazara. Shay Osa Atzmo Vodazara. He said, I'm the Vodazara. Shay Omer, Li Yaori. I made the river over here, I made the Nile, and I'm the God. So again, we have that same machlokis over there as to what Amgushi means. Does it mean the Machashif or it means the Vodazar? Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol Yadei Lechashif B'tkufos u'mazolos. If somebody knows over here the astronomy, he knows how to figure out the calculations, Ve'eino Choshev, and he doesn't do this. So about such a person who has this knowledge and doesn't use it to make a Kiddush Hashem, all of a Kosov Omer, about him, the Pasuk says, Ve'at Po'al Hashem Lo Yabitu, O'mayisi Yadov Lo'ro. You withheld people from seeing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You knew how to show everybody the wonders of the world, so to say. You could explain why it's going to be rainy, why it's going to be cloudy, why it's going to be this type of weather, and you don't do this, so you're stopping people from seeing the Yad Hashem. Amar Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar Yochanan is the gear that we have. On the side it says, Yonah's son, Minayin shemitzvah lo'odim l'chashiv t'kufus mazolos. That it's a mitzvah to actually go do this. Some of the Farshim explain that doesn't mean that you're mechuyev to do this, but if you do it, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you can make this Kiddush Hashem, it's great. But lav davka, everybody has to go to a graduate school in meteorology to go and learn how to do this. But if you know how to do this, you make Kiddush Hashem, so then you're supposed to. And it's a mitzvah if you do make that Kiddush Hashem. How do we know this? Shnemar, Ushmartem Vasisem, Kihi Chokmasem, Uvinasem, Leinei Ha'amim. So you can make a Kiddush Hashem in the eyes of the Goyim, Leinei Ha'amim. Now, how do you do that? If you tell them a good vart in Tosos, then that's not going to impress them. But if you can show them the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world by showing how nature and astronomy and all of these things can be shown to be done through the Yad of Hashem, and that that's a beautiful thing that Hashem put into the world. So then, Ezu Chokhman Bina Shehi Leinei Ha'amim, what will they understand? Oh, Hevi Omer, Zeh Chishuv Tekufus Mazolos. If somebody's a great scientist, then everybody, you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to be Jewish, you can appreciate the Yad Hashem. So such a person, if he's able to do so, makes a great Kiddush Hashem. Fine. That concludes this little section, and now we go to the next that we were talking about in our Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet, and that is Hatsod Tzvi B'chulei, trapping. So the Gemara starts off, turn around, brings down Tosefta, Hatsod Chalozon, Upa'apotso. If somebody goes and traps the Chalozon, we said the other day, this is Rashi calls it a dog, an aquatic creature, which many today say is this Murex trunculus, a certain type of a snail that is used for the dye that's inside of it. So if somebody traps this Chalozon on Shabbos, Vapotso, and then he squeezes it. Rashi says, Docha kobiyodav, he presses it between his fingers. She eats a dumbo, so that its blood or the secretions should come out from this chalozon. So, Eino chayvel achas, this is one issa daraisa of trapping. As Rashi says, Mishum tzeda, you're over here trapping the chalozon. Aval aptsia lekochia, but pushing out this dam, this dye, squeezing that out, that is not an issa daraisa. Gemara says, that's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda says, Chayv Shtayim. In fact, you Chayv two times. One chiyuv is for tzad, and the other chiyuv over here is for the bringing out the secretions. What isra is that? Rav Yehuda Omer Pitzia Bechal Disha. This is a tolda of Disha, of threshing. And therefore, threshing removes one thing from the other. So too, your squeezing over here removes the secretion, the dam, from the chalazo. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. Amulo, the Tanakhama responds back to him, the Talmidim responded back to Rav Yehuda and said, no, Chachamim say, Ein Pitzia Bechal Disha. No, this Pitzia, this removing the dye over here, is not included in Disha. Why not? Amarava, my time in the Rabbanon, why not? Rav Yehuda sounds like he's right. Gemara says, the Rabbanon Kasavri, they hold, Ein Disha El Gdulei Karka. You only have threshing when it comes to things growing from the ground, and the Chalazon doesn't grow from the ground. Gemara says, "Nu v'lechayiv nami mishum netilas neshama." Why aren't we saying that you're chayiv over here for killing? You're killing the chalazon over here. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, "Shepitzo mace." No, it's already dead. You trapped it. So why isn't that one thing? And then it dies after you trapped it. So Tosus points out over here that when the animal dies, it causes its own death. It's mefarches. It jumps around and moves about. So you don't kill it. Therefore, you're not chayiv netilas neshama. In any event, that's what Yochanan says. Yochanan says, Shepetzol Meis. However, Rava Ma Rava says, Afilu Temo Shepetzol Chai. You squeeze it while it was alive. You're not chayv. Why not? Even though it's going to die, when you squeeze it, Misaseku, Eitzol Nitilas Neshama. You have no interest in it dying. You just want the secretion, the blood, to come out. If it dies, it dies. It's not your interest. And therefore, it's Misasek. And that's why you're not chayv, Rava says. Where it says, wait a second, Abaye the Rav himself, as well as Abaye, Damri Tavaye, they both hold that Reb Shimon's Shita is that if you're a Misasek, if you didn't want something to happen, you're not Chayiv. So Moda Rabbi Shimon himself, the author of this Shita, says that Bipsik Reisha V'lo Yomos, you don't have this din of Misasek. If something is going to happen, guaranteed, Psik Reisha, we've spoken about in the past, it means you cut off a chicken's head, not because you want the chicken's head to be cut off, because you want the children to play with the head of the chicken. Again, a strange idea for us, but that was apparently a toy in those days. So they took the chicken's head and the kids play with it. No, the chicken's going to die without its head. Nevertheless, that wasn't your interest. That's called a psik reisha. So when something is a psik reisha, you can't say, well, I didn't expect that to happen. Of course it's going to happen. So if you squeeze the chalazon, of course it's going to die. That's a psik reisha. So, below yomus, it's not going to die. So therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to do this. You should be chayiv. So Gemara says, no, shiny hocha. Here it's different. Why? The kama de isbe neshama tfei nichale. This is not a psik reisha that you want. This is a psik reisha that you absolutely don't want. You actually get more blood. It's better blood. It's better dye if the animal, the chalazon over here, stays alive longer. So you're doing everything you can not to kill the animal. If it then dies, that's called a psik reisha de lo nichale. You don't want it. And therefore, that's not going to be chayiv, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's misasik. And that's why Rava says, if it's alive and you squeeze it, even though it may die, it's a psik reisha, even though it'll die, it's a psik reisha you don't want. The psik reisha, the lo nichale, or the lo ichpat le at least, and therefore, you want it to be alive. Ki hechi l'litzil tzive. It will have more dye. Rashi says, shetei maris tzivo tzlula. It will have a clearer, better dye. So therefore, you're doing everything you can not to have it die. That's why you're not chayiv, even if you do cause it to die, according to Rava. Then we continue. Vashochato, we said another one of the avalachas, if you shecht. So Gemara says, shochet mishumai chayev. Why would you be chayev over here for shochet? What malacha in the Mishkan involved shechita? So Rashi says, last Rashi, shechita b'mlechas ha-mishkan hecha. Where? Where did they do shechita? You're going to tell me, ime oros elim yodamim, if he goes and killed the rams, so, lomalibu shechita, b'chanik nami sagi. Why do you have to shecht it? You could have killed it. You're not eating it. So therefore, why did you say over here in our Mishnah, the shechita is asur? Where was shechita done? So Rav amar mishum tzoveya. Rav says the reason we're chayiv for shechita is because you're coloring the neck around the base of shechita where they shecht. You're coloring that with the blood, so you're coloring your tzoveya, and that's what you're chayiv for when you do shechita. Shmuel amar mishum tzilas hashama. No, Shmuel says because you killed it, you're not allowed to kill an animal. When you kill an animal, that's what you're chayiv for over here. Shochet. They have to kill the animals to get their hides. So Gemara asks the obvious question: really, Rav mishum tzoveya in mishum tzilas hashama? Lo, you don't. Mechayiv for Nitilas Neshama, you're only chayiv over here for dying the neck? So Gemara says, yeah. Ema, af mishum tzoveh, you chayiv two things over here. Number one, you chayiv for Nitilas Neshama, but killing. And you also chayiv a second time because of tzoveh, you're coloring around the neck. Now, Rav says, I better explain myself. Milso di Amre, that which I just said, Ema be Milso, I better say more to it. Ema be Milso, because otherwise, the Lolesu Dore Basroi, that the later generation shouldn't come, the Lachaku Alai, and they're going to make fun of me. Dying? Soveya? That's what you worry about? Not Netilas Hashama. Now, again, the play on the word dying and dying. So you're doing both over here. You're killing the animal, that type of dying, and you're also coloring around the neck area with the blood when you do the shlita, that type of dying, tzoveya. So he says, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to laugh at me over here. V'lecha gualai. Tzoveya b'may nichale. Why would anybody be interested in when they shech the animal, that you're coloring around the neck with the blood? So where he says, no, you know why? B'may nichale. Nicha de lisvas beis hashchita. It's very good for two reasons, we'll see, for you to have the beis hashchita discolored over here with the blood. So Rashi brings down, this way you show that it's nice and fresh. Litvos over here, you want everybody to see, shenishchito hayom, v'nicho v'nizvenu. People will say, oh, this is fresh meat. I see it was just shechted today, and they're going to come and buy it. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different reason. He says, "D'nicha inshe d'nishchadu." You want people to know that it was shechted, and therefore they'll buy it because he lemizva minei v'lohuyemru shel nevelu. They'll say, "Oh, it's not nevela meat." They see the shechita mark around the neck, and therefore they'll come to buy it. That was the plumba. That was the way to prove the shtempel that it was kosher. Okay. So therefore, the litzus beis hashchita dama. You want to have the beis hashchita have the dam around it. Ki hech di lichse yen shei, the people should see it. Lesu lizvenu minei, and people will come to buy it either because they'll say it's fresh or because they'll say that it's kosher. Rashi, Rabbeinu Chananel. Then we go to the next one. Va'molcho va'mabdo. If you take the hide and you salt it and you do the tanning process ma'abdo, so that's two avmolochos that the Mishnah said. So more questions and says, Hainu moleach v'hainu ma'abed. What is the difference between salting it, which is the tanning process, or the start of the tanning process, and the tanning process, ma'abdo? It's the same thing. So Gemara says, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Tamar Tavayu. So both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish said, you're right, Taka, it's the same thing. So afik chad minayu, take one out and call it just tanning. So let's say take out mocho and just call it tanning, or take out ma'abdo and say the mocho means tanning. And the ayil sirtut, and in its place, put in the, because you have to have 39. Now if you take one out, then you only have 38. Put in sirtut. What is sirtut? So Rashi tells us, Lefisha derech haratzonim, the people that made leather, kishubo l'chatcho, when they wanted to cut it up into the right size pieces, misartito tchila, they would engrave it, they would etch in it lines, kifi mashu rotze, it belongs to the exact length and width that they would want, l'harich l'harchiv, l'katzer achitoch, and to make sure that they would cut it exactly, v'yachakach ma'vir asakin derech asirtut. Then they would cut it along the etched line, the engraved line, and they did this, v'chein ba'oros ha'mishkon shechotchum. So well, they would do this over here in order to make the sizes of the urios exactly the way they needed them. That's called sirtut. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Chananel brings down from the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi had the gears over here, hamolcho v'hamisartito. The Yerushalmi didn't have this whole discussion. The Yerushalmi didn't have the word ba'avdo, it had misartito. In any event, the Gemara continues, says, Amar Rabba Barav Huna Haiman Demalach Bisra. He says, if you go and salt meat, chayiv, the person who salts meat is going to be chayiv. Not only the hide, but even if you salt the meat. Why? Mishum ma'abed. It's a tolda of ma'abed. So if a person goes and salts the meat, so then he's over ma'abed. Now, does that mean you can't add salt to your meat on Shabbos in the Cholent? So Rav said, Rava Omar ain't ibud ba'ochli. No. He says, this is meat. This isn't a hide. A hide you're not allowed to salt, but meat you're allowed to salt because ain ibud ba'ochli. There is no concept of tanning meat. So you can add salt to your Cholent if you want, to the meat in the Cholent. Amar Vashi, Ravashi then qualifies even what Rabba Bar Rav Huna said. Amar Ravashi, afilu Rabba Bar Rav Huna, even when Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, don't salt the meat, lo amar, he only said that, ela de kaboy le l'urcha. It's when you salt the meat to preserve it. You're going to have it on the road later in the week. That you're not allowed to do. Because then you're doing it to preserve it. Avo lebesa, you want to add salt to your cholent meat on Shabbos, not a problem. Lo mashri inish michli eitz. You're not going to add so much salt that it's going to be preserved. It's going to be like a shtick wood. It's going to be a hard piece of wood if you add so much salt to it to preserve it. It's like beef jerky. So you're not adding that much salt over here to preserve it. So if you're doing it to preserve it, so then you got a problem. But if you're doing it to eat, you don't have a problem. Rabbeinu Chananel says, since Rava said that there is no ibud by ochlin, so this whole thing of Rabba bar Rav Huna is not lahaloch. Then the Mishnah said, "V'amachatko v'amachatko." If you go and smooth it out, v'amachatko, you go and cut. So that is also two av melachos on Shabbos: smoothing and cutting. Amar v'acho bar Chanina, Rabbi Acho bar Chanina said, "Hashof bein hamudim." Rashi explains over here, "Hashof bein hamudim is Shabbos." Is chayv mishum amachik. So Rashi explains that this is you're smoothing out the area between pillars. So you're taking the ground, the dirt that's in between these two pillars, and you're smoothing it out. So you're chayv over here mishum amachik. Tosus doesn't like this. Tosus says that's a different iser, and therefore Tosus brings down the Rabbeinu Hananel over here on our daf that says the shof ha'or ala omud. You're taking a piece of leather and you're smoothing it out on these pillars. Kidei lachliko, to smooth it out, to make it choluk, to make it smooth. That's the Rabbeinu Chananel brings down the Yerushalmi. Fine. So whatever this is, Hashof ben Amudim is over Mishum Memachik. Amar Ruchiyah Baraba said, Gimel Dvar Masochli Rav Ashi is the Gersa that we have, Mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. There are three things that I learned from Rav Ashi in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Now, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was a very, very early Rishon. He even makes it to be a Tana in the very last Mishnah Nuksan. I always love to say this Dvar Torah. It says, the Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, he's mentioned in the very last Mishnah of all of Shas, the last Mishnah of Uktzin, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is mentioned. Now, that's normally, we only have Tanoim in the Mishnayis and the Brisos. So, how did Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi become a Tana? So, the nice Vart to say on this is, after you go through all of Shas, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi went through all of Shas, so you can become a Tana too. So, that's the idea. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was a very, very early Amora. He's from the very first generation of Amorayim, the last generation of Tanayim, and therefore he is going to be, he's the one saying this over, and we say that Rav Abba, Ruchiyah bar Abba, said it in the name of Rav Ashi. So the side, the Besaras HaShas brings down, it should be Rav Asi. Rav Asi was the first generation of Amora. Ravina and Rav Ashi were the last generation of Amorayim. So if this is that Rav Ashi, so therefore the Gersa is incorrect, and on the side it says Rav Asi instead of Rav Ashi. The Rashash says, however, no, there were two Rav Ashis. There's the famous Ravina Rav Ashi from the end of Shas, and there's also a Rav Ashi who was the first generation Amora as well. Fine. In any event, this statement that Rav Chiya bar Abba made, three things he learned from Rav Ashi or Rav Asi in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Number one, Hamagarer Rosh Klunsos. If you go and sharpen the top, some of the gears of Megarade, you sharpen over here the tops of these poles on Shabbos, B'Shabbos, Chayv B'Shumachatech. That's cutting, and therefore that's Osir. It is a capital crime if you did it intentionally with Hasra, and without that, B'Shoge, Yechayv Achatos, B'Shumachatech, for cutting. Likewise, hamamareach ritiya b'shabes chayv b'shumemachik. If you have a bandage, Rashi says a tachboshes is a bandage, and you smear it on this wound over here, and you do memachik, so then that's an issur d'oraisa on Shabbos as well. And finally, the third thing that he learned, v'mesates eso evan. If you chisel a stone, and you do this on Shabbos, chayv b'shumemachik b'patish. You're chayv over here for finishing the job. Rashi points out that it's already been quarried from the ground. It's already all set up. It's smoothed out already. So the only thing left to do is to do the final chiseling. Tosus explains that they would go and make some sort of like a sirtut to make it beautiful, some sort of an engraving, an etching in these stones. So the only thing that was left to do is this makah bepatish, this final beautification. You're not doing the chiseling. That's a separate issue of quarrying and chiseling to make the stone into a beautiful square. That's already been done. And now you just have it at this last point. So the last thing that you're doing over here, this last mesates is heaven, that's the issue of makah bepatish. As we'll learn, makah bepatish is when you finish off anything. When the final act of making something is called makah bepatish. That's an abalocha. Amar Shimon. Now the gifts that we have is ben kisma, and the Bach says it should be bar bisna. So whoever this amor was, Rav Shimon ben kisma or bar bisna, he said over Amar Shimon Lakish, the name of Rish Lakish, hatzar tzura bikli. If you go and make some sort of a design in a utensil. So you carve out or chisel out in some sort of utensil, you make a design on it for beautification. Or hamenafeach b'chli zuchuchis. Or if you go and blow glass, the way you blow glass is you heat it up and then you can blow it and form it into different shapes. So both of these, you're finishing it off. The glass was almost done and now you're shaping it and doing something to it. The kli was all done except that you put in the final etching, the final tzura that you put into it. That's makah bepatish. Again, the final act is an isser. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hi, man, the shakil akufei miglime." If somebody goes, Rashi explains the shakil akufei, Roshei chutin atluyim biyiriya b'makom kshurin kishenitach b'chut v'kashru. So you have over here little pieces of threads that are coming out of the garment, and you make ties on them so they shouldn't loosen the garment. Or you have a splinter, if when you weave this garment, there were little impurities over there, little splinters inside, and you now take them out. So in this situation, by cutting off these little extra knots, or taking out these splinters, you're making this sweater finished. And now this woolen garment over here is finished, so you're over makabe patish by doing this last step. But the word qualifies as it says, v'hani mili d'kapit alayu. It's talking about when a person was unhappy about having these little splinters inside of this sweater or these little knots. Because if he's not unhappy about it, then it's already done. But if you're makbid on this, then in fact, you take them off, so then that's makabe patish. The Gemara continues, says, "Akosish deyosios," if a person writes two letters. So in the Mishnah, we said that writing two letters is one of the avalochos. So the Brice expands on this. The Brice says, "Tora baron, kosavos achas gedola," if you wrote one large letter, but it was so large, you could have written two smaller letters there, but you just wrote one large letter. So you only wrote one letter, but it was large enough that you could have written two letters in that space. Potter, that's not an issa deraisa. Again, it's potter, you're not allowed to do this, because chatzis shir is also in the Torah, but you're not chayev a korban chatas, because the korban chatas is dependent upon the shir, and the shir is two letters, and you only wrote one large letter. However, somewhat paradoxically, if you erased a large letter, and that large letter had room to write two smaller letters in it once it's erased, so then you're chayev for the mechika, for erasing a single large letter, because erasing is an iser because it's almanas lichtov. So when you erase a space that has two letters in it, even though you only erased one letter, so now you could write two letters in it. So your mechika was a significant shear, because it's not the fact that you erased two letters that's important, it's that you erased a letter in a space that you could now write two letters. It's mechika almanas lichto, and therefore you accomplished that, and therefore you're chayev achatos. So you have the paradox over here, that if you write one large letter, you're not chayev, but if you erase one large letter, you are chayev. And Amar Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi, v'zechomer b'mochek mi b'kosev. This is a chumra over here that you find by erasing that you don't find by writing. Now this is obvious. So why is Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi telling us this? So Rashi explains, this is just to let us know that he was the author of this brisa. He's the Tanakama. He's the one that said, kosev achas os achas gedola, v'yesh mekom lichtov shtayim is potur, mochak os gedola, v'yesh mekom lichtov shtayim is chayev. Who is that author? So it's Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi. That's the way the Gemara is telling us that. Then the Mishnah is quoted, tells us a whole bunch of other avmalachos. We had abonah, fasos, if you build or you take down. Or hamachabeh, vamaveh, if you extinguish or you light. So those we're not going to discuss now, but we're going to discuss the next one, vamakim v'patish, which we've been discussing already. And Rabbah, Rav Zeira, the Amar Tavayah, both Rabbah and Rav Zeira said, what is the definition of makim v'patish? Komide de'iz be'gmar malacha. Anytime you're doing the final action on something, you're doing the final act to finish it off, Chai Mishu Makke B'Patish. That is the Isser of Makke B'Patish. Then the Mishnah concluded and said, Elu Avos Melachos. These are the Av Melachos. Now you already told it to us. Why are you telling it to us again? So the Gemara says, Elu, these, Lafuke Midu Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayev Al Tolda B'Makom Av. It's telling us, these are the Av Melachos. We had at the very beginning of the Gemara, we said, Rabbi Yochanan came along and said to teach us that you're Chayev for 39 Chatos if you did all of them. And we brought down over there that you're only Chayev once for each category, the Av or the Tolder. So therefore, if a person did the same Av and a Tolder, so he's only Chayev one time. He did an Av and it's Tolder, you only Chayev one time. That's our Mishnah. That's why it said, Elu Avos Melachos, only these, as opposed to Rabbi Lezer, who says, no, if you did an Av and you did a Tolder, you're Chayev two. One for the Av and one for the Tolder. Rashi brings down, but we learned that, we could have learned that from the beginning, when it said, these are the Avos Melachos, the 39, the 40 minus 1, why did I have to repeat it? So, if you only had it telling you one time, so then, all I would know, is that if you did two toldas, you only chayev one time. But how do I know if you did the Av and the Tolda, that you're still only chayev one time? That's why you need it to be mentioned again. Lafuke, Midr Lezer, who disagrees with that. Then it said, you have 40 minus 1, Chosar Achas. Why are you telling us that? Lafukim with Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Mosif as Hashovet Vamedaktek. He added on two additional ones, not 39, he had 41. And that's Hashovet. Rashi tells us, Mishum Hashesi Bekarka Shekorin Riul. He says, when you did something to straighten out the threads in the wharf, in the vertical, the longer strands that go from farther away from you to where you are, and you arrange them in a certain orientation, so that's called, over here, Hashovet. Now, Medakdek, that's Shemoseh Chut Ha'erev. Here's the taking the weft, the woof type of horizontal, going from left to right type of strands, and you did something to them over here, with the karkar, which is an implement that would straighten them out, and this is also a separate av malacha. Now, the Tana of Amishta felt that these were included already in the other weaving av malachos, but Rav Yehuda did not. So Amrulo, they said to Rav Yehuda, Shoveit Hareyu Bichlal Mesach. They disagreed with Rav Yehuda. They said Shoveit is included in Mesach, the stretching of the threads, of the warp threads. And medaktik, Hareyu Bichlal Oreg, and medaktik is already included in the Isser of weaving. But Rav Yehuda disagreed with that, and therefore he listed them separately. But that's why I'd have to tell us again, 39, as opposed to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which would say 41. Next Mishnah. Remember, the first Mishnah was Klal Gadol, so now we have the old Klal, which we explained. The Klal Gadol was telling us a lot of things, and here we're only telling us two things. The old Klal, Echod Amru, they said another rule, and that's as follows. Kol HaKosher Latznia, anything that is capable of being hidden away. It has a benefit of being hidden away. As Rashi says, Shumin Asur L'Tzorech Adam. It's something that a person uses. And Umatznia Kamo, and this amount is normally hidden away or used. Kimo Zet, Rashi says, Kolomar Sheyesh Bo Shior HaRoy Latznia. So it's something that is used by people, and this is a significant amount. It has a shear in it. So therefore, in this situation, if you carry this out on Shabbos from Shus Yochid to Shus Arabim, or of course if you carry the Dalai Lama from Shus Arabim, Chayev Chatos Olav. This would be considered a significant act of carrying. If you did it by accident, it would be Chayev Chatos. However, for Kosher Eino Kosher Latznia, it's not something that people would use. Vematznia Kamo, and in this amount, nobody would go and use this. And then, Votzio B'Shabbos, you went and in fact carry this insignificant item out. Then you're not chayev, but the person who did do this, so he is considering this to be significant, so therefore he is chayev. But you, who don't consider it significant, most people don't consider this significant, if you were to carry it, you would not be chayev. Mora says, call it kosher latznia, something that is capable of being used by a human being, so then there's a potential issue of carrying, bafukimai, as opposed to what would you not be over for carrying that's not used by a human being. So a Papa Mai is an example, Lafuki Damnida. If a person were to take out Damnida, it has no purpose. So if you carry out Damnida, so then you wouldn't be Chayev. You wouldn't be over in the rights of carrying on Shabbos. Marufu Amar Lafuki Atzi Asherah. If you carry the wood of an Asherah tree, an Asherah tree is a type of Odazara, it's also Ba'anah. If you carry that, so you're not Chayev in Issa of carrying on Shabbos. Now, Morris says, Mandu Amar Damnida, the first opinion that said it's Damnida, Rav Papa, who said that something is an example of not being worth anything, is Damnida. So certainly, Koshke Atzei Asher, which are also Bahana, Damnida is not also Bahana. It's garbage, but it's not also Bahana. So if you say that Damnida is not something that's Koshel Atzniya, so certainly Atzei Asher would be included by Rav Papa. However, Mandu Amar Atzei Asher, according to the opinion of Mar Ukva, that said, it's only Atzei Asherah, Abul Damnida, Matzna Leh. A person would go and hide it. It does have a purpose, Lashunra, because he would give it to feed his cat. His cat would like to eat this dam. No, why doesn't Mar Ukva hold like that? V'idach? No, he says, no. Kivan D'cholsha, if you give the Damnida to your cat, it makes you weak, so lo mitzna le. Therefore, nobody's going to go and do this. Somehow, apparently, Rashi explains, Hamaychol Dama Adam le'chatul naseh cholosh oso dam. If somebody goes and gives your blood to a cat, it makes you somehow weak. How that works, I don't know, but that was their concern, and therefore, it wouldn't automatically say that Damnida has any value to it, because you wouldn't give it to somebody. Rav Yossi Rechanina, hide the lo k'Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah over here is not like Rabbi Shimon, because our Mishnah says that only the person who puts out an insignificant item, he considers it significant, but the rest of the people don't consider it significant, so therefore they're not going to be chayev. And Rashi points out this would be true according to the Tanna of our Mishnah, that once it's considered significant, then chayev kol adam al hotzoso. If it's considered significant, then everybody would be chayev, even a rich person who would never be seen carrying something like that. For him, it's not pas, it's not appropriate. But once it's considered appropriate for everybody, so then even a rich person, he wouldn't consider it significant, would be chayev. And if it's something that is insignificant, only the matznia is going to be chayev and not anybody else. So this is the low Rabbi Shimon. This is not Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon, because if you want to hold like Rabbi Shimon, Omar, Rabbi Shimon is saying over here, as well as we'll learn this in the next Mishnah, next parak, lo amru kol ha-shiurim halalu elu matzniyein. All of the shiurim are only for the people that hide it. They're the ones that are considered. But if you would never use it for that, so then it doesn't apply to you. So therefore, as Rashi points out over here, it is a rich person, according to the Tanna Kamma, even though for him it's not choshev, it still would be chayev, but according to Rabbi Shimon, you would not. Then we say, the second part of the Mishnah was, if something is not considered significant, so then you're not going to be chayev in Issa Daraisa. So we turn to the Amud Aleph, and we say, this part is not like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. What did he say? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says the following: Kol she'eino kosher, if something is not normally used by a person, so in that situation, and nobody uses that thing even in a small amount, it's not used. But this guy took it out and used it, and then somebody else went and carried it out. So the second person now who carried it, he's actually going to be chayev because it was made significant by the first person. So therefore, it now has the halachic status of being significant. And even though the other guy doesn't think it's significant, it's now going to be chayev. As opposed to our Mishnah, we said only the matznio, only the one who brought it out, is going to be chayev, but not the other person. With this, we'll conclude today's shiur.